Man, take your Bibles, please. Turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and I have been looking forward to teaching this in our series. Tonight, I really mean this with all my heart. This may be one of the most important things I teach you. You'll see why in just a moment here. John chapter 15, let's start reading in verse number 11. John 15, starting in verse number 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Several times in this passage, Jesus is talking, and he says, you're my friends. And he called us his friends. He said, matter of fact, you're not my servant, because the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. He said, I've chosen to call you my friends. Now, if you'll listen to me, keep your Bibles open, we'll use them. Most people really do not know what friendship really is. We have a sinful, worldly, secular view of what friendship is, and I hate to say it, but even most Christians have a secular view of friendship. Because we have the wrong view of it, most all relationships are damaged because we don't view friendship correctly, especially marriage. Friendship is one of the most important things in all relationships. It was important enough for Jesus to address it here in John chapter 15. I'm going to make a couple statements here that are very powerful. Friendship is not really a relationship that stands alone. Friendship is not a relationship that stands by itself. Friendship is the love that holds a relationship together. Friendship does not stand by itself. It is the love that holds a relationship together. And I'll get into this. Friendship, by its very definition, is the expression of love, kindness, etc., in any type of relationship. I want you to understand something. My wife and I have been married for 31 years, but she is my friend. Josh has been my son for 28, almost 29 years. Man, you're getting old. Good grief. But he's not only my son, but he's my friend. Brother Mrs. Barnes. Mrs. Barnes works for me. Brother Barnes and I have known each other for, 17, 18 years now. We work together. We've served together. We're co-workers, church members together. But they're... we have a love relationship that deems it friendship. And I could go down the line, many others, but friendship by itself is not a relationship. Now, hang on. In other words, the act of or the expression of love in any relationship is the friendship. God uses the word friend as an expression of love. Now, hang on. John 15:15, he said, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. Jesus said, look, I could call you servant, I could call you slave, I could call you employee. He said, no, you're my friend. The servant is the relationship. He said, it's a friendship because I love you. It's not just employee, employer. It's not just leader, follower. But because I love you, we can be friends while I'm the leader and you're the follower. The friendship is what allows that to be something more than just leader-follower. See, the relationship is servant. But he said there is a friendship there, and I'll choose to use that expression as the defining part of our relationship. The world's view of friendship is much different. The world views friendship as ownership, an exchange for what we want. I'll be your friend if you're my friend. Oh, that's a real good relationship, isn't it? Friendship to the world is all about what we get out of it. And it's how it makes us feel. Friendship to the world is about what do I get? How do I feel? What benefit is there for me? And it's really not what God intended as friendship. The friendship my wife and I have isn't about what I get out of being her friend. It's what I get to give in being her friend. It is the love expressed. Now, in other words, friendship in the world is almost the clique idea. In other words, I'll be around certain people because we just get along. I like them, so I'll spend all my time with them. My Bible says in the book of Proverbs, he that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's relationship. Now, we're going to get into this hot and heavy. I have 32 minutes. You ready? There's four ingredients of friendship. Number one, lay down your life. Number two, do what God commands. Number three, the relationship does not define the friendship. And number four, it is chosen by the giver. You lay down your life, you do what God commands, the relationship does not define the friendship, and it's chosen by the giver. Let me start very quickly here. Number one, lay down your life. This does not mean that you stand in front of a bullet and die for somebody. Okay? God didn't say, I want you to give up your life for me. He said, I want you to lay down your life for me. Say, what does that look at verse 13? Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Please don't take this the wrong way. Brother Larry, I love you, but if I die for you, I'm not your friend anymore. I'm dead. When we were out golfing yesterday, I warned you, don't stand in front of Brother Josh. He's going to hit you. I cared about you enough so that you didn't have to die and give your life on the golf course. Amen. When you lay down your life, it literally, the word lay down means to put down, to put aside, to set aside something. In other words, in being a friend, I am to set aside what I want to do with that portion of time or that part of my life and give it to somebody else. If I lay down my life for my son, I'm not going to go out and jump in front of the car and keep it from hitting him. I may do that, but that's not an act of friendship. Friendship says, I want to go do this. He needs me for something else. I'll put this on the burner over here. I'll go help him. That is laying down, setting aside your life for someone else. It is me giving up the desires of my life to fulfill the desires of someone else. There are times in a marriage where a husband has to say, it's not about what I want right now. What does my wife need? What does she want? I want to go hunting. I want to go golfing. I want to go do this. But she needs me to help decorate for a wedding. Do I go golfing with the boys or do I decorate for the wedding? Well, any sane man in the world knows you go golfing. But any man that's happily married knows you stay and help decorate. Why? I laid down what I wanted in life to give her what she needed to keep from her and Mindy from killing Michael. literally. No. It's you put aside something you want to do to give it to somebody else. Please don't take this the wrong way. Don't you think there are other things I could do with my life other than what I'm doing with it right now? But I've decided I would give my entire life in every ounce and every fiber that I can put into the work of God, the ministry of God, to do everything I can to reach as many people for Him before He comes back or before I kick off this earth. Say why? Because I love Him and He and I have a friendship because of that. When we express our love this way, we are being a friend. There's been times I've called Brother Barnes up and said, hey, could you help me with? He'll put aside what he wants to do, come help me. The friendship isn't he and I as a relationship. It's he and I as maybe the relationship as pastor and church member. But he has added friendship to it by setting his life aside to come help me. And that's where the friendship comes into play. This means that friendship is not worried about what it's been given in return. It's only concerned with giving. This is where we separate from the world. If you are a friend to someone and you go help them, watch this. When you're in need and you call them and they can't help you, and you get the poochy lip over it. You're wanting something in return. They must not be as good a friend as I want to be to them. Oh, now it's all about you. See, friendship says, Mrs. Barnes today helped me with a little project called several different ladies. Had a little project that, and I always say this, no is not a bad answer. If you tell me no, that's fine. I'll ask you again next time. I do not take it offensively. Say, why, preacher? I would never tell you no. I need you to tell me no sometimes. It's okay. I know you and I have a closer relationship when you tell me no. Because you felt comfortable enough to say, no, I can't do that. I'm good with it. Just as long as it's not no forever and see you later and never talk to you again. It does not hurt me. It does not bother me. I am not looking to get something out of you. I'm looking to get help for you. There's times I ask somebody to do something not because I need it, but because I feel they need it. Now, there are times I need to get a bunch done because there's no way I can do it all. I get that. But there's times it's not good for you to do it, and I need you to tell me, this isn't a good time. No problem. You see, I'm not trying to get something out of you in return. I want to put into you. Real friendship wants to give. It's not worried about what it gets back. A real friend never lets the thought, well, they're not meeting my need, go in through your brain. If you look at your spouse and say, I give them all they want, they never give me what I want, you're not being a friend. You're being selfish, and you want something in return for what you do. Friendship only looks for ways to express. It does not look for ways to be exchanged. Brother John, I love you. You're my friend, but I never look for you to do anything back for me. I just want to help you. If I start saying, well, I'm going to do this for Brother John, maybe Brother John's going to do this for me. Uh-oh. I just stepped outside the bounds of friendship. And I'm looking for an exchange. I'm not looking to do something. Okay, let's put it down to where we live. Okay, God, I'll tithe, but you're going to have to increase it. I'm going to give to get. Oh, no, 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 no. You give because you're supposed to. God will bless you for it, I promise you. But if you're only doing it for that motive, don't hold God hostage that way. By the way, according to Matthew 26:50, let me read it to you. You don't have to turn there because you probably won't get there as fast as I will. But Matthew chapter 26, verse 50, this will make sense to you now. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Judas Iscariot came and led the soldiers to him, Matthew 26, verse number 50, the Bible says this, "And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him." Jesus called Judas friend in the Garden of Gethsemane as Judas betrayed Jesus. Say why? It wasn't based on the relationship of Jesus and disciple or pastor and assistant pastor. It was based on Jesus's expression of love to Judas. Do you realize all Jesus had to say was something for God to kill Judas and he would have died right then? Jesus could have stopped the whole thing right there. He was God in the flesh, was he not? Huh. That's how you can be a friend to your enemy. See, I can be a friend to someone who does bad to me. They may consider me an enemy, but I can express my love to them in a friendly way, and I don't have to return being an enemy. You see, an enemy is a relationship, but friendship can be given to any relationship, even your enemies. Oh, you got to love your enemy. Whew, how do I do that? Well, you become a friend to your enemy. That doesn't mean you invite him out to dinner. I have many enemies I would not sit down and eat with. But I've helped a few of them behind the scenes and they didn't even know I helped them. I've expressed my love to them in a very private way to where even they didn't know that it was me doing it. And I was able to express my love to them even though they've tried to destroy me. That's what it's all about. You don't suddenly decide to be friends with someone because you're going to suddenly decide not to be friends with somebody. And if you can suddenly decide not to be friends with somebody, you weren't their friend to begin with. I didn't suddenly decide to be married to my wife. Now, I knew it faster than she did, but it didn't take long. But we entered it slowly. You say, why do you do that? Because you just don't jump in, jump out. It's not something that you enter in quickly. By the way, I have friends with whom I don't spend time with. I have friends who have turned into enemies, but I still consider them a friend. I still love them. I don't consider them me being an enemy to them, but I'm a better friend by not communicating with them because we'll probably argue over what we disagree about. But if they needed help, I would help them. You see, friendship is a gift that you give. Did you know if you give somebody a gift, you don't take it back 6 years later? So if friendship is a gift, you can't take it back. You have to keep giving it. Boy, that's a powerful statement. Let me make this statement. I'm going to run to number two because y'all are squeaking right now. Friendship is the key to a good marriage. Be a friend, don't want a friend. If you want a good marriage, be a friend to your spouse. Don't want a friend. I'm going to make a statement that might shock you. Do you know I don't want friends? I want to be a friend. I have found that the more I want to be a friend, the more friends I get. I never look at somebody and say, boy, I wished I was their friend. No, I say, Lord, is that somebody I should be a friend to? And I'll be their friend. I become a friend to them, whether they like it or not. Nah, 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 nah. And that's literally how it works. I can decide, but I don't want necessarily their friendship back. I just want to be a friend to them. Number two. So, number one, lay down your life. You set aside what you want. You give them what they want or what they need. Number two, do what God commands. Look at verse 14. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. If we are not obeying God, we cannot love. And if we cannot love, we cannot be a friend. God says, you have to do whatsoever I command you. Take your Bible, turn to 1 John. All the way back, almost to the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 2. There it is. Look at verse number 3. Now watch the words in these verses. And hereby we do know that we know him if we do what? Keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the what? Love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse number 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In other words, you have to love in action. God says here, my little children, let us not love in word. In other words, don't just tell me you love me. Neither in tongue. Don't just say it. Don't just write the word. He said, you'll love me when I see the action, and that action is obedience to the commands of God. I show my wife I love her by obeying the commands that were given to me in our vows 31 years ago. By the way, if the vow is the highest form of love you have, that's just the beginning. That's why it's done at the beginning of the marriage. You ought to love far beyond that. Do you promise? Do you vow to have her and hold her, keep her, sickness and health, forsaking all others, keep thee only under, so long as you both shall live, do you so promise? I do. Wow. That's the beginning of things. You ought to be so far past your vows that she doesn't have to remind you, or he does not have to remind you what your vows were. I don't think in 31 years my wife and I have ever talked about, well, do you remember what you promised? Folks, if you're to that point, you need a lot of help. I hate to disappoint you. Love in action, not in thought, in word only. The Bible says that we can only love others to the degree that we love God. 1 John 4:7-8, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You will not love anybody else any more than you love God. I'm not saying how you feel about God. I'm not saying how sincere you are about loving God. I'm saying how much you obey him by loving him. Ouch. Anytime I feel myself getting cross with somebody, I go back and I get in the Bible and say, where am I not right with you? Because if I were right with you right now, I wouldn't be cross this way. If I ever feel myself getting a little tense around my wife, I get alone with God and say, okay, where am I wrong here? I don't go and say, why won't she just get it through her thick head? That's the way some of you would talk about it. You see, it's my job to get me right and obey him. If I'm right this way, if my love relationship is right this way, my love relationship this way would be okay. Too many people work on this, not this, and this breaks up. If this is right, this can endure anything. If this isn't good, this has no hope. None. I'm going to make a statement here. That's why saved people should not date, marry, or fall in love with lost people. Because a lost person doesn't have the wherewithal to love you, because he that loveth not knoweth not God. You have to be born of God and know God. I don't think you ought to date somebody or marry somebody that's not right with God. If they're not right with God, how can they love you? Period. And I'm not being mean. I'm trying to spare you. Sit in my office and catch all the stories. It's miraculous that lost people get married and stay married at all. It really is. And they love with as much love as they know how to, but boy, you get both of them saved and get them both right with God and watch what happens. Shazam! Man, everything comes alive. So, that's why lost people should not, and saved people should not date. And I have so much more to say, but I'm not going to on that point. Number three, the relationship does not define the friendship. The relationship does not define the friendship. Look at John chapter 15, verse number 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. Now, watch this. Did you realize that I can be a friend in any relationship? Stand up here for a second, Brother Josh. This is a very unique situation. I get to be his dad, whether he liked it or not. He had no choice in that one. But wait a minute. Not quite a year ago, he had a choice about whether he was going to come here and work and be an assistant pastor. He made that choice. I love him as his dad, but I also love him as his pastor. I love him as his boss. And I hate that word. And each of those relationships are a little different. My love to him and for him as an assistant pastor in this church is not based on the fact that he shares the same last name as I do. I've bragged on him quite a bit this week. My brother has been in town a little bit, and he and I spent some time, and we talked about how great a job Brother Josh is doing around here. And my brother looked at me and said, "How do you do it?" He said, "How does he not hate you?" I said, "Because I'm not dad at work." I said, "I don't dad him at work. I pastor him, and I'm employer and employee." Thank you, Brother Josh. For instance, Sunday I kind of overstepped my bounds with him. Monday morning, in front of Mrs. Barnes, I apologized to him. I said, "I was wrong, and I stepped over a line that was yours, and I asked him if he would forgive me for it." In front of Mrs. Barnes? Yeah, I did it in front of people. Why should I not apologize in front of people? I'm not that big. He said, "I didn't realize you..." Yeah, I did. He was being gracious. I'm not going to abuse that relationship. And by the way, we have a pretty good ability to shift gears. When we're at home, we're home. If we're on the golf course, it's trash talk each other. Amen, Brother Larry? And it's bad. It's great. It's like being home. But we walk on the property or walk into the doors of this building, and it's a totally different relationship. You say, how do you, by the way, I'm a friend of my wife. I'm a friend of my children. I'm a friend of my daughter-in-law. Unless we're playing games. Then it's kill or be killed because she's ruthless. But we have those relationships in life. But you can still be friends in those relationships. Now, I can be a friend of my brother. I don't have a sister, but if I did, I would be their friend. You can be friends of your coworker. I am friends with Brother Mrs. Barnes. I am friends, they're my friends, though I employ her, I employ him. As a church, we do, but they work for me, but yet we get along as friends. You say, why? Because we try to express proprieties that way. Boy, that's a good statement. You know, church members are brothers and sisters in Christ. You're not just church members. Say, well, that's my friend. No, that's a church fellow church member, but you've turned fellow church member relationship into a friendship. That's what it's all about. By the way, you can have business people as your friends. I have business people that I am very friendly with. Pastor and people, we can have that friendship necessary. Now, I can be a friend, but I'm not going to be a buddy or playmate to just anybody. Being a friend doesn't mean you play together. Being a friend doesn't mean you're a buddy to somebody. Now, when we're out on the golf course, most of the time we're buddies. Most of the time. Usually I'm ducked behind my golf cart and everything else in between us and trees. And let me say it this way. Friendship is an expression of love, not an expression of playing. Too many people think friendship is an expression of playing together, entertaining together, socializing together. No, friendship is an expression of love. I'm going to turn my back so I don't look at anybody. Friendship is not an expression of social media. Facebook has done more to destroy the definition of friend as anything this world has ever seen. Someone who will share negative, someone who will give negative and share things with people in a negative or evil way are not your friend. Clean it up or get rid of them. Boy, that's a good statement, but moving on. The friendship is expressed individually and uniquely as the person in position they hold. God gave my wife and I 3 children. I love all 3 of my children, but I love all 3 of them differently. Not more or less, but I love them differently. Say why? They're 3 totally different personalities. And if you've ever been around my 3 kids, it's Larry, Curly, and Moe. They are 3 totally different personalities. I love every one of our church members, and y'all are different. Every one of you. I love my wife differently than I love somebody else's wife. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, listen to this very carefully here. We do not base the friendship on the relationship, but the relationship may decide how the friendship is expressed. I don't love somebody to get close to them. I love somebody because I want to love somebody. Now listen to this. Brother Josh, you just heard him pray a little while ago. And every time he prays from behind this pulpit, he may not even know he does it. He's probably had to work hard so he does know it. He doesn't say, God bless Dad as he comes and preaches tonight. What does he say? God bless our pastor. God bless our preacher. Say, what is that? He's shifted gears, even though we have the relationship of Father-Son, At this time, it's pastor and assistant pastor and pastor church member. Let's use that role and let's use that closeness to that level. Let's not change it. My dad's here. If anybody's earned the right to call me by my first name, it's him. But I've rarely heard my dad ever call me by my first name at church. I mean, rarely, if ever. I'm not saying it's never happened, but, and I'm so used to hearing it from him, I wouldn't have noticed. But I watch my dad carefully say, well, the preacher, the pastor, say, why does he do that? We've understood there's a line there that's not family. Now, when we're at their house or they're at our house for Sunday dinner or whatever, they don't call me the pastor. Say, why? Because I'm home. But here, the position's different, the relationship's different, and how that friendship is expressed is different. Boy, that's a good statement. My dad and I tease around a lot. Now, when I was a kid at home, we didn't tease around quite that much because there was a line. Now I can call him things I didn't call him back then and it not be inappropriate. You know, I can call him the old geezer, because he is. But I don't do that in front of people, and that's not necessarily the term I would use. I'm just pulling one out. But I don't do that in church, unless it's for an illustration. you say, why? Because I respect him. Now, if we're out hunting or we're out the store and I'll say something to him, I might poke fun at him and he'll poke back. You don't have to worry about him poking back. Both hands are coming, all right? You better duck quick. The relationship sometimes defines how we express that friendship, but it doesn't change the friendship. Number four, and I must hurry. Friendship is chosen by the giver. Look at John chapter 15, verse 16. This is very interesting to me. Watch what Jesus says here. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Look at me. He was talking to people that did not choose to be his friend at first. He chose to be their friend at first. He said, I'll be your friend whether you're my friend or not. I chose to be your friend. I chose you. You didn't choose me. After I chose you and expressed my love and I expressed my leadership and I expressed my desire to love you and to serve you, then you decided to be my friend. I have chosen you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Wow. Now watch this. Friendship is a choice by the giver. Therefore, it is an act of the will. Do you know you choose to whom you are a friend to? It is your choice. You can't choose who is a friend to you, but you choose to whom you will be a friend to. I can be your friend whether you want me to be your friend or not. But you decide whether you become my friend or not. Does that make sense to everybody? Rattle your head. All right. Need to know that you're with me. Now listen to this carefully here. I made this statement recently to somebody. I am accountable to God for my actions. I'm not accountable to God for what's done to me. I am accountable to God. Every man will give an account of himself for the deeds done in the flesh. It doesn't say that you're going to give an account to God for what was done to you. So many people are so worried about, well, what am I going to get? What's going to happen to me? What if, why are you worried about that? How about you just love and be a friend? You don't have to worry about what's coming back at you. How about you just love in spite of it? Verse 17, these things I command you that you love one another. Be a friend to one another. It is a command of God. Did you know whatever God commands, you can do. God did not give one command in Scripture that you could not obey. If he commands it, you have the will to do it. Thou shalt not kill. If you have reared your children past the teen years, you are successful. You don't have to kill. Well, I just get so angry. Okay, but you can choose not to get that angry. That is an act of your will. Just like you can choose to love somebody, whether they are lovely, lovable, or mean and nasty as an old snake. You can choose to love them. I am accountable to God for what I do, not what's done to me. I'm accountable for loving and being a friend, not for how my friends treat me. Am I doing okay? So many of us, well, I just want to have a best friend. Nowhere in Scripture does it ever say that. I can choose to be a friend to someone else no matter what they do to me. So my expression of friendship is not based on how they treat me. I have some friends recently. There was somebody that came to this church. Honestly, they tried to destroy me years ago. I introduced him as a friend. Y'all shook their hand, his or hers. You didn't even know it. Years ago, they tried to destroy me. I chose to be their friend, not based on what they did to me. I chose to be their friend because I'm their friend. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? I am to choose right no matter what or how someone treats me. Now, listen to this. That means I don't let my friends do wrong in my presence. If you have a friend that's trying to do wrong in your presence, you're not supposed to let them do it. A friend doesn't let a friend sin in their presence. That includes your children. We're not supposed to let our children under our influence. If they're adults, they're adults. There's things you can't stop when they're an adult. But if they're under your leadership, you don't let them disobey God in your presence. Everybody doing okay? Say, why? Because you're not their friend. Well, if I don't do this, they'll never talk to me again. You don't do it based on what they're going to do. You do it based on what is right. So I must hurry here. So the real recipe for friendship is this. Lay down your life. Do what God commands. Don't allow the relationship to define the friendship. And the giver chooses the friendship. Now listen to this and I'm done. Add to this every relationship in life. Add this recipe to every relationship in life. Do not think that friendship can stand alone. It is the love expressed in any relationship. And I'll make this statement and I'm done. My pastor, Brother Hiles, used to say it this way. Friendship is the mortar that holds all friendships together or all other relationships together. Friendship is the glue, the mortar that holds all the other relationships together. Pretty good way to put it. It is not a relationship that stands on its own. It's what fuses two together to make it work. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. We'll crash land this thing. We all ought to be careful with our friendships. You show me who your friends are, I'll show you what you are.